Well, I tell you, I love hearing people just sharing about how Jesus has changed their life, the difference that he makes in people's hearts. And there have been times in my life when I've kind of wondered if someone who is far from God were to really get to know me, I mean, like really get to know me, my highs and my lows, not just in a public arena, in a public setting like this, but they were to be able to spend time with me, you know, more in private at home, seeing how I interacted with my family. If they were able to see how I do when I'm playing sports, because how you act when you're playing sports actually tells a lot about you. If they were able to see me having fun, they were able to see me goofing off. But they were also able to see those times where I'm serious, I'm focused, intense, and those times where I'm struggling. You know, maybe I'm frustrated, uptight, maybe a little bit cranky here and there. I mean, they saw me. If they saw me at my good times, my bad times. They saw me interacting with all kinds of different people in different settings, different environments. You know, the server at the restaurant, the checkout clerk. If they saw me interacting with my neighbors, you know, whoever. You know, if people who are far from God, if they really saw me, really got to know me, would they be able to see how much better my life is because of Jesus? Would they be intrigued and would they want what I have because of the part that Jesus has played in my life? Would they really want that for themselves? And to be really honest with you, at times I've thought, man, yes, I really think they would. And then there are other times, you know, I'm not sure. Now, when I look at my life, I mean, I see the changes and the difference that Jesus has made in my life and how he's helped me interact with people in better ways and in healthier ways, how he's given me inner strength in my life and resilience even in the midst of difficulties to keep on going in life, how he's given my life meaning and a sense of purpose and a sense of contentment in my life. And when I think of those things, I say, man, I can't imagine somebody not wanting those things, the difference that Jesus made in my life. I can't imagine somebody not wanting that for themselves. But then there are times where you go, but maybe not. And it's interesting because those times where I think, you know, maybe not, it's because I'm really not living with the joy and the peace and the confidence and contentment that Jesus has for me. It's like I've temporarily kind of lost sight of the love that God wants me to live with, to experience, and he wants me to reflect towards others. I've kind of gotten distracted from just being purely focused on Jesus in my life. I've allowed the pressures and the demands of life to kind of get to me. And I've been kind of lured or seduced by the values and the pace of our culture. And I fall into this, oh, you know, you got to do more and go, go, go. You got to accomplish this and that. And you got to, you know, prove that you can work as hard as somebody else, that you're as talented as somebody else, and on and on and on. And in those moments when I allow the pressures and the stress of life to get to me, and I'm burning a candle at both ends, I'm skimming relationally, I mean, it's like, why in the world would anyone want this? Why would they want it? What's interesting is that that is not the life that Jesus invites us into. The life that he invites us into is better. It is just so much better than that. And yet, I think for a lot of us as Christians, those who would claim to be Christ followers, I think a lot of times there is like a gap between how we actually live our lives and the life that Jesus invites us into. Now, if you're here today and you're kind of kicking the tires, maybe you're back after being away from church in a long time, and you're trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing, this is a great time to be here, because what we're going to be looking at today really isn't geared specifically and directly at you. It's geared at those who are Christians, those who call themselves Christ followers. So while this is going to be very helpful, because you're going to get some insight into the life that Jesus invites us into, you know, you can relax, you can sit back because you don't have to squirm like anybody else that may be here. So it's really a good time for you to be here. We're glad that you're here. Let me go back and kind of catch up to speed. We started the series last week, and we said that most of us live our lives just plugged in to the max. We live our lives plugged in technologically with our phones, our computers, the other devices that we have. We're constantly tweeting and texting. We're on Facebook. We're listening to music, watching shows, all that stuff. We're just plugged in technologically. We're plugged in socially, and we've got all kinds of relationships. A lot of those are kind of surfacey relationships, and that's largely because of the pace of life, and to some degree because of the dependence on social media that we have. But at least we're connected in our culture. And we said that we're plugged in schedulely, which isn't a word at all, but we're plugged in when it comes to our schedule in life. I mean, we have all kinds of things going, and we live these crazy, hectic paced lives. We got places to go, we got this to do, we need to see this person. We got all these things. I mean, our schedule, our lives are overloaded with all kinds of stuff, and yet we continue, what's amazing, we continue to add more and more things onto our already busy and overloaded lives, and we are plugged in to the max. So there are times where we just need to slow down and breathe and unplug. We need time to think about life, to think about our relationships. We need time to think about the big questions of life. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Is there a God? And if there is a God, does he love me? Does he know me? Does he care about me? Does he have a plan for my life? If I stay on the path that I'm on right now, if I continue doing the things that I'm doing right now, is it going to get me? Are these things going to get me where I really want to go in my life? What's the purpose of life? What am I going to be remembered for when I die? What do I want to do in my life? Do I want to accomplish anything of significance with my life? Or do I just want to eat, drink, and be merry? I mean, we need time to breathe and slow down and unplug and just think about those things. And so what I'm hoping that this series is going to do for us in our individual lives as well as a church is that it will allow us to slow down and to quiet our hearts and our minds and our souls to really focus on the simplicity of what it means to follow Jesus, to walk and to live in the ways of Jesus, to bring him honor and glory with our lives, to make him bigger in our hearts and in our lives. And last week, I challenged you to try unplugging from here until Christmas. The series is going to go through Christmas, and try unplugging in some different areas of your life. Try something at least once a week where maybe you unplug from Facebook for a day once a week. And so for some of you, that may be a little too tough. So maybe just half a day, you know, or something. But you unplug for that. Or maybe you unplug from your phone for an hour a day, or maybe for a day, or something like that, or a half a day during the week, or you unplug from music and from just noise, just to be still and to be silent, to be quiet, or maybe as a family you'd agree that we're going to unplug from television and media and just all technology for one evening together as a family. But try unplugging from something once a week at least, and use that time to connect more deeply with God and to connect and invest in the relationships that you're in your life. Now, as you look at Scripture, we said that Jesus himself, he certainly unplugged on a regular basis to pull away from the crowds and get away from things. But what we're looking at in this series is we're looking at a time where Jesus in his life, he unplugged very strategically. And the period of time, the kind of event that we're looking at throughout this entire series is the night when Jesus, the evening when Jesus unplugged, right before he was going to be betrayed and then arrested, put on trial, and crucified. The evening before he was crucified, Jesus very strategically decides to unplug, pull away from the crowds, everything that's going on, to spend time with his inner circle of 12 disciples, 12 followers that he had been mentoring for 3 years. And in that time, He shares with them what his life had been about, and he clarifies some things there, and he clarifies what their life needed to be about. And he uses it as a time to just be present with them, to affirm them, to encourage them, to give them some direction in life. And what's really interesting is that this profound time in the life of Jesus is recorded in great detail, actually, in John chapter 13 and the following chapter. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. This one evening is covered in five chapters. Great detail. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John. It's all happening that one evening. Everything that we look at. And so we're going back to that. Last week, we talked about Jesus pulling aside at this time to celebrate the Passover meal, what we've come to know as Lord's Supper. And he has this time with him because nobody volunteers to, none of his guys volunteer to wash the other guy's feet. That Jesus himself, this is the custom of the day because their feet would get all dirty walking along dirty, dusty roads. And so Jesus gets up, cleans their feet in an act of humility. There's this object lesson that he presents. And then he clarifies to them, that's how we need to live our lives, in humble service toward each other. So that's how you need to live your lives, loving each other enough to be willing to inconvenience yourself, if that's what it takes, to serve other people. And then he goes on from there, and he predicts that he's going to be betrayed. And in fact, that would happen within hours of him telling his followers that. And then we move on to another critical life lesson that he wanted these guys to really get and internalize, and that he wants us to get. And it's about this life, this better life that he invites us to be a part of. So in John chapter 13, we're going to pick up in verses 34 and 35, and those are the two verses that we're going to look at today. We're just going to lock in on these two verses. And this is what Jesus says. It's a key time in his life, right at the end, and he's going, this is something I want you guys to get. Verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. He's talking to the guys there. He says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, loving one another was not really technically the new command. I mean, that command, that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. The new command wasn't love one another. The new command was to love each other as Jesus had loved them. And how does Jesus love? Well, his love is deep. His love is selfless, is sacrificial, is indiscriminate. You know, red, yellow, black, and white. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. It doesn't matter whether you're popular, you're young, you're unpopular, you're old. None of that matters. I mean, Jesus just loves people. And he's saying that's how we need to love each other. The way that he loved us and the way he loves us is the way that we need to love the people in our lives. We need to love one another selflessly. We need to love one another sacrificially with a deep concern for each other's well-being. Now, a lot of times when we think about loving people, we just think about kind of the nice, softer side of love. You know, just telling people what they want to hear, being nice to them, giving them whatever it is that they want. And Jesus certainly did that. I mean, Jesus loved people in a kind way, was encouraging, affirming. He loved people in a way that allowed people to feel very valued in their life. There was that soft side of love that we typically equate with love. But Jesus also challenged and confronted people. There were times where Jesus said, no, I'm not doing that. Or he said, no, you need to not do that. You need to change your ways. So Jesus, when he expressed love, he expressed the softer side of love. And he expressed at times the tougher side of love that at times is needed to express because we really care about someone. We say, man, if you continue down this road that you're on, that's a dead-end road. And I love you, I care about you enough to let you know that. Jesus had that full love for people, and he said, that's how you need to love each other, as I've loved you. And then he goes on in the very next verse, in verse 35, and he says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. And a disciple is simply a follower. Okay, a learner. In this case, a follower of Jesus, who says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, or that you are Christ's followers, that you're followers of mine. Look at this. If you love one another. That's how people are going to know that you're a follower of mine. If you love one another. I want you to get that. We need that to sink in to our being. The distinguishing mark, what he's saying, of a Christ follower, the evidence that we are followers of Jesus, is our love, our deep, profound love for each other. When we as Christ followers love each other, when we as Christ followers love other Christ followers, people around us, he's saying that they're going to take notice of that. When people who are far from God, even people are distracted and disinterested in spiritual things. When they see us genuinely caring for each other and helping each other out, it's saying they will realize that there is something unique going on. They're going to realize that there's something different here. This isn't normal. And they realize, they must be followers of Jesus because nobody else loves each other like that. That's the way that we need to be loving each other as followers of Christ. And when you read in the pages of Scripture about the early church, the first century church, that's what they were known for. They were known for that kind of love towards each other, for really caring for each other. They were known for meeting each other's needs. I mean, there was a need that needed to be taken care of, and man, they were all over it. But unfortunately, what's happened in a lot of our lives, a lot of us, we grew up in churches. The church of our youth was not that way. A lot of us grew up in churches where there might be a single mother who was struggling financially, struggling with other issues in her life. And she'd show up at church, she might barely make it to church, she had bills that needed to be paid, she's behind the utility bills, and she'd walk in, and she might stand there and sing right next to someone who is doing well financially, maybe rather affluent. They might even share like a hymn book or something. But this individual who is doing okay financially would just never cross this person's mind that they might be able to help out the single mother. Never crossed anybody else's mind, the church either, that they could help the single mother out. They could help pay some of those utility bills to get her caught up, to just get her over the hump financially so she could see daylight. Never dawned on anyone that maybe some of the men in the church could have gotten together and gotten over to her house one evening and worked on her car and maybe got her car fixed up a little or she wouldn't be dying on her every so often. A lot of us grew up in environments we just didn't understand. We never saw. That's the church. That's how Jesus intended for us to live our lives. And that's the church in action. Now, we certainly haven't arrived in this area as a church. But I tell you, it is great. It is so neat to hear about needs being met by other Christ followers in our church. Over the years, we've had people who have donated their car instead of trading it in for their next car or selling it to be able to get the value to invest in another car or in something else. Said, you know what? I don't need to get this money. I'm going to donate this to the church. And it's given us the opportunity to give that car to a single mother or a family who is in need that could really benefit from just a little help in their life at some point. Sometime back, I kind of heard through the grapevine around here, really, that some of our guys, some of our men, had gone over to one of our ladies' home whose the wiring, the electrical wiring, was really messed up and was kind of a hazard, and they rewired the whole house. So that would have been a challenge financially for. They just took care of that. Had people who've helped individuals get on a financial budget to be able to learn how to live within their means financially. And most of this happens through small groups where individuals get to know each other. They know what's going on in their lives and they're just there to do life with each other. At times they take meals to each other because there's a need, there's a sickness, somebody's in the hospital, or they watch each other's kids. Sometimes just sit for hours and talk and listen to each other. But that's the church in action. That's the church being the church. That's what Jesus invites us into. And when people see that, neighbors, people around us start realizing those people, I mean, they really love, they really care about each other. That's a picture of what Jesus invites us to be a part of. And when we live loving each other in this kind of way, that is evidence for Jesus, that he's real and that he has changed our hearts and our lives. But unfortunately, at times, what Christ followers have been known for, instead of for loving and caring each other, is they've been known for being judgmental of each other and critical and hypocritical, looking down their noses at each other when somebody made a mistake, when somebody blew it, not really caring and loving each other at all. And I just want to say, if that's your experience from church, from Christ followers, man, I just want to say to you, I am really sorry. On behalf of Jesus, on behalf of the church, I apologize. That is not what Jesus intended. That is not what Jesus invited us to be a part of. What he wants is for us to be a loving community of individuals who really care about each other deeply. He said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. This will be the evidence that you are a follower of mine. This will be the evidence that I am real, that you love one another. Now, what's interesting, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it doesn't really clarify how we're to express this love. But as we look at the life of Jesus, as we look at his teachings, as we look at how he lived himself and the teachings of Scripture, we get a very clear picture, I think, of how this love needs to be fleshed out in our lives. And so in the remaining time that we have, I want to look at six different ways that we can love each other as Christ loved us. And in doing this, give evidence to all those around, even those who are distracted, those who are far, those who are disinterested in God. Give evidence that Jesus is real. He's real in us. This is what Jesus invites us into, invites us to be a part of. So number one, the first way that we can love each other as Jesus loved us is by serving each other, by serving each other humbly. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in this, but let me just say that Jesus made it very clear that when we really love someone, we're going to be willing to serve them. That's just a natural outflow of a heart of love, even when it means doing something menial, something mundane, something that's inconvenient. As we said last week, humble service, humble acts of service, humble acts of kindness can... they can just communicate massive doses of love. And so we need to make serving each other just a way of life. It needs to be our lifestyle. Now, if you missed last week, I just encourage you, get online, watch it, or pick up a CD before you get away. But we need to serve each other humbly. That's one of the ways that we love each other, the way Christ loved us. Number two, the second way that we can love each other the way Christ loved us, number two, is by taking time to do the highs and lows of life with each other. Look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. You don't need to look this one up. It says, Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and then mourn with those who mourn. One of the ways that we show love is by doing the highs and lows of life with each other. When someone has a loss, maybe they lose a loved one, maybe they've lost a job, maybe lost their marriage, some other relationship has been shattered, maybe a dream has been shattered. We need to be there to grieve with each other. Now, some of us, when we hear about things like this, we go, oh, you know, we get uptight about that and wonder, man, I wouldn't know what to say. I mean, what if I say the wrong thing? But a lot of it isn't so much the words that you mouth. It isn't what comes out of your mouth. It's more about just being there. Just letting them know that you care. Letting them know that you're praying for them. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to give shallow, trite answers to million-dollar questions. Just be there. Just be present. Call them. Let them know you're thinking about them. Send them a card. Offer to mow their lawn for them. Offer to clean their house for them. But be present. Be present with them. And then on the other side, when individuals celebrate a birthday or an anniversary or a graduation, they're excited about a promotion that they got, or they've finished some big project in their life, or maybe they've conquered a fear or something they've struggled with in their life, man, celebrate those moments. Get excited with them. Be there with them to do the high moments of life as well. Enter fully into the highs and the lows of individuals' lives. Now, you know, in the culture that we live in today, we're so connected in so many different ways. We have so many, quote, friends on Facebook and you know, whether they're real friends or acquaintances, I mean, I don't know. But it would be very difficult in all reality to do every moment, every high and every low with every person that you're connected with in any way, shape, or form. But those people in your life that you're closest to, saying do the highs, do the lows with them, do life, enter fully into life with each other. And in doing that, we will be loving each other the way Jesus loved us. And then there's a third way that we can love each other the way that Jesus loved us, and that is by simply listening to each other. By listening to each other. I mean, in a busy, fast-paced, plugged-in culture like the one that we live in, I mean, giving people a gift of time and just listening to them, I mean, that can be just a huge, huge gift. A lot of us want to be heard, but we're not near as good at listening to others. Look at what Scripture says, James 1:19 up here. It says, my dear brothers, he's talking about fellow Christ followers, brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But for us, we usually do the exact opposite, don't we? We're quick to speak, but a lot of times we're kind of slow. We're not near as good at listening. But people feel value when they're heard. Learn to ask questions. Be curious about what's going on in people's lives. Unplug and just be present, fully present with people. Have you ever met someone and you just really hit it off with them, and next thing you know, I mean, you just met them, but next thing you know, an hour, maybe 2 hours has gone by, and you've been chit-chatting, you've been talking the whole time. You know, man, I really like this person. I mean, that was just fun. I enjoyed getting to know that person. It's just a neat time that you spend together. And then if you've ever stopped to think back on what made that so neat, such a neat experience, almost every time, this is what you're going to discover. They were curious about what was going on in your life. They were interested in you, and they knew how to ask questions. And they were just asking about your life, and they were attentive. They got involved in your life. And when you're both doing that, if you did that in return, and you were interested in them, and you were curious about that life, man, there is a connection that takes place. And you walk away going, man, that was just neat. I like that person. Man, we need to get together again. And that is the power of listening to people in a plugged-in, busy culture, taking time to just really listen, to really listen to someone and what's going on in their life can be an invaluable gift, because what you're saying when you listen to someone, when you slow down and you unplug enough to listen, is you're saying, you really matter. You matter to me. And number four, the fourth way that we can love each other the way Jesus loved us is by helping carry each other's burdens. By helping carry each other's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens, or each other's your loads, your struggles, your heaviness that you're experiencing in life. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the law of Christ would certainly include this law that Jesus had just given, this new commandment to love each other as he had loved us. So when people are carrying a heavy emotional or a heavy relational burden or load, we need to strive to do whatever we can to kind of alleviate, to kind of lighten that load in their lives. And a lot of times, the best thing that we can do is what we were just talking about, is listening to people. It's just being there with them. It's just spending time with them. It's amazing how much it can help just to talk through what we're going through, just to talk through what we're struggling with someone who will genuinely listen and give us some godly advice. And when I've had big decisions to make, it's amazing how helpful it's been to sit down with a wise, godly individual, wise, godly friend, and just to be able to share what I perceive to be the options that are in front of me. And it's interesting that a lot of times, just as I kind of talk through this, man, these are the options that seem to be there, and I'm trying to figure that out, just verbalizing and talking with someone, a lot of times in the midst of that, it'll become clear, wow, this is what I need to do. And they don't even know, sometimes they have to say anything, and it just becomes so clear, the path, the decision that needs to be made. Other times they ask questions. And they're just curious. They ask, well, what about this? Have you thought about that? Or they'll throw out some other option. And in the dialogue, in the midst of them asking certain questions, a whole new possibility surfaces that you hadn't even thought of. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, maybe that's it. That's what I need to do. What's really interesting is sometimes in the midst of a conversation like that you have with someone, there's no resolution at all to the issue. And yet what I found in my life is that sometimes even then, the load just seems lighter. And you've probably experienced that. It just seems lighter because you've been able to share it with someone. And somehow just in talking through it, it lightens the burden. It lightens the load. However, we need to understand is this doesn't mean that we just dump all of our garbage and all of our junk on someone. We just kind of, you know, emotionally vomit and puke all over them. Think that that they need to carry this load, that they need to make everything better in our lives. Ultimately, we are the ones. We need to understand that. We are the ones that are responsible for our load, for our junk, for our baggage, for whatever it is that we're going through. I mean, just a few verses later, look at this, Galatians 6:5. It says, for each one should carry his own load. Ultimately, what we need to understand is that each of us has got to carry our own load and not try to dump it off on somebody else, expecting them to make everything better for us. But we don't have to go through life alone. We don't. It's amazing the difference it can make just knowing that someone's there. There have been difficult times in my life when I've just had individuals just sit with me. And they didn't say hardly anything. They were just there. I was struggling. They were just there, praying for me, present. But somehow, even in that silence, knowing that there was someone there that believed in me, that supported me, that was praying for me, somehow it just lightened the load. And it gave me enough strength to get back up and keep going and keep putting one foot in front of the next. We demonstrate love. And we demonstrate that we love each other and give evidence that we are followers of Jesus by helping carry each other's burdens. And then number 5, A fifth way that we can love each other the way that Jesus loves us is by building each other up. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur or motivate or challenge one another on toward love and good deeds." In verse 25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." In other words, saying as Christ followers, we need to make meeting together with each other like this and settings like this and in small groups, we need to make this a high priority. Don't just blow it off. "Oh, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I think I'll do something else." No, it's saying we need that in our life. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return is what it's talking about. We need to love each other by encouraging each other, by building each other up. I mean, it's amazing what being around positive, encouraging, affirming people can do for you. I mean, haven't you experienced that? I mean, it's just re-energizing. There's certain people, you just hang around them for a while and you're like, "Okay, I'm ready to conquer the world. Now I can go now." That's the kind of individuals that we need to be. That's how we express love to each other, is by affirming and building each other up. And there's one more way that I want to talk about, and this isn't an exhaustive list. There's just some key things that we can do to love each other the way Jesus loved us. The sixth way that we can do that, number six, is by extending grace to each other. Extending grace to each other. And what I mean by extending grace is giving people another chance. Give them another chance. Yes, people have blown it. Yes, people stumble. Yes, people fall. And there are people who have hurt us. Some of them have hurt us deeply. But we need to look at our own lives and realize, you know what? We've stumbled too. We've blown it. We've let people down. We have hurt people deeply ourselves. And so we need to extend grace to them. So instead of assuming the worst, what we need to do is we need to give grace and assume the best. Ephesians 4:32, Scripture says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, we need to be kind and compassionate and forgive people in general. But here it's specifically talking about being kind and compassionate and forgiving to fellow Christ followers. People that we're doing life with, other Christians. And our motivation, it says, is to be what? Because we have been forgiven ourselves by God. We've been forgiven by God based on what Jesus did by dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our wrongdoing, for our sin in life. You see, because we've been extended so much grace ourselves, we need to extend much grace to others. Because we have been forgiven much, we need to forgive others much. Now, there's so much that we could talk about when we talk about extending grace and forgiving. I mean, I've done a whole series on forgiveness. A lot of things we would say, but let me just clarify one thing. I mean, when we extend grace and forgive someone, that is not, please understand this, that is not minimizing. That is not trivializing or excusing or rationalizing or downplaying the seriousness of the offense. They hurt you. They did something that was wrong. Forgiveness is not just blowing that off and saying, "Oh, it's no big deal." Forgiveness is owning the hurt fully and completely. And sometimes that takes some time to just grasp and internalize the fullness of how we've been hurt. And being able to say, in all honesty, yes, they did hurt me. They hurt me here and here and here. And this is how it's affected me. This is how it's affected my relationship. This is what it has done to me. And you own that fully. You fully own the hurt. But then, not because they deserve it, because you know what? They don't. This is what you got to remember. They don't deserve that grace. They don't deserve that forgiveness. But here's what you got to remember, and here's what I've got to remember. You didn't deserve God's grace or God's forgiveness either. And yet he extended his grace to you. And he forgave you. And he extended his grace and his forgiveness to me. And so because of that, because we have had so much grace extended to us, after we've owned fully the hurt in our lives, then we choose, not because they deserve it, we choose to let it go. We choose to let them off the hook out of love. Because we have experienced the grace and the love of God in our lives. We can't do this on our own. That's why we need God's love in our hearts. So that this hurt doesn't turn into bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. We need to extend grace and give people another chance. That's how we need to be living our lives. As challenging as that may be, that's how we need to live. Now think about this. What if we were to really live this way? What if we were to live these things out as Christians? What if we were to be a church where this kind of love was really lived out? This kind of love was expressed to people. And we haven't arrived as a church. This right here, this is the kind of church that we have always wanted to be. This is the church that we are striving to be. We want to be a gathering of people who love one another. By this, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you love, that you are Christ's Lord, if you love one another. But I think sometimes people look at our lives as Christ followers, as Christians. They look at how we're living and they go, you know, if that's what it means to be a Christian, follower of Jesus, why would I want that? And my life is messy. I mean, it may be a little hollow and a little empty. My life is better than that. Why would I want that? But when we're living this way, if we were living out this kind of love, loving each other the way Christ, the way Jesus loved us, we were serving each other, helping each other out when there's an opportunity, when there's a need, even if it was something trivial, even if it meant stepping out of our way, doing something that was inconvenient. And if we were doing the highs and lows of life with each other, entering fully into each other's lives and caring for each other enough to slow down and listen to each other. And we were curious about each other's lives. And we were helping each other carry the load that we have in our lives. And rather than beating each other up and being critical of each other, we were building each other up and encouraging each other. And rather than being judgmental, looking down our noses because somebody stumbled and they blew it, we were extending grace and forgiving each other. I think even people who are distracted from spiritual things, disinterested, people far from God would be drawn to Jesus. I think there would be like a magnetic force that pulled people towards Jesus because they would see the evidence of Jesus in our love for each other. We wouldn't have enough room for everybody. We'd have to start another service. We'd be having to start another multi-site. Because you couldn't keep people away from that. And people would go, man, if that kind of love, that kind of care, that kind of connectedness, that kind of gathering, if I could be a part of that and experience God's love and his grace and experience that from the people loving me, love, I would give anything to be a part of that. But not only would people who are far from God be drawn towards Jesus, but we ourselves would be re-energized and feel affirmed and loved and valued. That's what Jesus invites us to be a part of. By this will all men know you're my disciples, that you're a follower of mine, that you love one another. That you love each one another deeply, sacrificially. We're going to pause here in just a second. And I want to give you time to think through what we've talked about. And to really kind of take some time to reflect on what is it that you sense that God, through His Spirit, is nudging you to do about loving one another. Which of these six areas that we've talked about do you need to work on? You say, you know, I think this is what I need to address in my life. Let me go back through these with you. We're going to throw them back up here on the screen. Is it serving each other humbly? Is it taking time to do the highs and lows of life with each other? Is it listening to each other? Is it helping carry each other's burdens? Is it building each other up? Is it extending grace? What I encourage you to do on your outline is just to circle the one, maybe two, but just focus on one or two. Try to figure out what specifically would God want you to do in this area this week to love the people that you interact with. Now, just about every one of these is going to take slowing down the RPMs of your life, slowing down the pace of your life in order to not be skimming relationally. And that's why it's so critical that we unplug. And I want you to just think about what do you need to do about this? So I'm going to give you a minute or so. It's just going to be silent. I'll give you a minute or two to think about it, and then I'm going to wrap us up with prayer. This is your time just to think through this. Heavenly Father, thank you for extending your love and your grace to each of us and for inviting us to be a part of a gathering, a community of people, of individuals that love each other the way that you loved us, where we serve each other, we're there to help each other out. We do the highs and lows of life with each other. Care enough to take the time to listen because we care about each other. And we try to carry each other's burdens. We build each other up. And rather than being critical and judgmental, looking down our nose at each other, that we extend grace and forgiveness. God, I pray for those who are here today who say, if that's really available, that kind of love, and that kind of care and connectedness, oh, I would love to have that. I'd love to know your grace and your love, God. Help them to understand your invitation to be a part of that is made to everyone, anyone and everyone can come to you. I'm a part of it. Lord, I know that we don't live that out perfectly, and I certainly don't. God, it's an incredible gift to be invited to be a part of that. If you're here and you never experienced that, but you want to experience God's love and grace and be a part, when He invites you into that kind of community of connectedness, in your heart you'd pray and say, God, I want your love. I want your grace. Today I receive your gift of forgiveness based on what Jesus did on the cross. I'm putting my trust, my faith in Him. I want to follow Jesus in His ways. Fill me with your love. I want to reflect that love. God, my prayer is that everyone of us here who are Christ followers of yours, that we would determine that we are wholeheartedly going to love you, and we're going to love each other. We'll strive to love each other with the love that Jesus showed us. And Lord, I pray that as we do, that those who are far from you will be drawn to the reality of Jesus and realize that He is real and that He cares about them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.